the scripture. Malachi, the book of Malachi. We'll start there tonight. Take your Bible, turn to the book of Malachi, chapter number 3. It is not what you think. I know what's in chapter 3. We'll do that some other time. But Malachi chapter number 3, great verse of scripture here tonight, and it's verse 6. And I'm going to look at it. We're going to go over some things here this evening I believe we need to be up to date on and caught up with, and just sort of nail them. Out in my deck outside of our bedroom, I have a little deck that goes out in my bedroom on the second floor, and it's got that salt-treated wood, and every once in a while, the sun will hit that wood and everything, and it sort of draws it up. It'll start bowing or something like that, and the nails will come up. And once in a while, you just have to take a hammer out there and just nail them nails back down. Nail them down good. And that's what a preacher does once in a while. We just go over some things and just nail them down real good. Amen? And keep them tight. And so tonight, let's look at Malachi chapter number 3 and verse number 6. Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 6. For I am the Lord. That's right. He said, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. I want to preach tonight on the subject, God has not changed His mind. The Bible said in James chapter 1, the Lord with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You all know the scripture in Hebrews chapter 13 verse 8. Where Jesus, the Bible said, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. So we know that God does not change. Now we understand tonight that we're living in a world that is rapidly and dangerously changing. The UN is changing. Years ago, when I was growing up, you never even hardly ever seen anybody from another country. They were just, it was very rare. Now, it is all mixed up together. And God put the emotions between us for a reason, you know. And the wars is what brought everything in and mixed it all up like it is now. Religion has changed. Wouldn't you agree? Definitely. Religion has changed. Churches have changed. I know churches that used to preach one Bible, one faith, one right, King James Bible, hell hot, heaven sweet. And now, don't even call themselves by the Baptist name anymore. I know churches tonight that used to go have bus ministry, go soul winning, knock on doors, who don't even feel led to do that stuff anymore. Politics have changed tonight. No doubt about it. We're living in a day and time. I'll just briefly say this because I ain't want to preach it on. Somebody said, let's pray that we'll get a good godly person elected. I'm going to tell you something, people. There ain't no godly people going to get elected no more. They can't get elected. It ain't going to happen. You say, well, if you'd pray, no, you pray all you want to. I'm not so sure it ain't even rigged. But I don't know. But either way you look at it, our country politics have changed. Used to, if a person stood for something, people were behind them. Now, if they stand for what's right, they're a terrible, awful, mean person and everything. It's crazy. The things that are going on in this world tonight. Politics have changed. Religion has changed. Our nation has changed. Sports have changed. I grew up playing sports all my life. I like basketball. I look at sports once in a blue moon. But I keep up with it. It's amazing. You got people playing now. And certainly the WNBA, that's the Women's National Basketball Association. And honest to goodness, I don't know if they're women or not. I mean, they might be now. I mean, we're 6'8" and can dunk a basketball and say, we really tried hard tonight. I mean, something ain't right. And they got Adam's apple. But sports are changing. I was wondering the other day about these sports people, these athletes, who changed, turned in from a man into a woman, do they play on the women's team now? Or they play, well, that ain't fair. That ain't right. They said these guys, football players, now are, but they're a woman, but they're playing in a football team. Well, that's just like having a woman in the locker room. I'm telling you, sports have changed. We're in a changing world. The world is changing. The way they do business, the way they talk, the way they they feel our relations with Japan and China. Marriage has changed. Marriage seemingly means nothing to a lot of people in this world tonight. I know a lot of people, or you hear about a lot of people, like the Kardashians. They said that the reason Bruce turned himself into a woman because he's trying to keep up with the Kardashians. Did you know that marriage is changing tonight? People say, well, we're married, but I don't, he don't live with me and I don't live with him. We don't live with him. We just have an open relationship and both of us do what we want to. And marriage is changing. A lot of people don't take their marriage vows seriously. When you get married, you made a serious vow. You didn't just say for better, you said for worse and for better. Amen? Marriage is changing. Our homes are changing. But I want to tell you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, God has not changed. I'm glad to say tonight, you don't have to worry about the Lord changing. You don't have to worry about it. He's exactly the same tonight as He was when He made the world. He is exactly the same tonight as the day He gave the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. He is exactly the same tonight as He will be 100 million years from right now. I am the Lord, He said. I change not. Hallelujah. Well, I want to say a few things about it tonight quickly and we'll go. You can go get you an ice cream or something. Number one, the Lord has not changed His mind about the preciousness of His record. What does that mean? This precious record, the Bible that we have. The Bible's authenticity. Authenticity, it means it's right. And it means it's authentic. And brother, it means, brother, it's perfect. God ain't never changed. You know, there's a lot of people today say, well, hell really meant a garbage pile out there on the Valley of Hinnom, you know. And what God told me one time, He said, now hell is really just like your basement. It's a pit. Like where you dig and put potatoes down in your basement. And I said, you're wrong, brother. I said, hell is a pit, but every pit is not hell. Hell is a pit, but just because something's a pit don't mean it's hell. God's never changed His mind about what that book said. I know it's getting bad. I know you don't hear it preached much, but God never has changed His mind about what He said about heaven, about what He said about hell. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter. Psalm 117 is the shortest chapter. John 11, 35 is the shortest verse. Isaiah 37, 2 Kings 19 are almost exactly alike. It's an amazing book. You know what? That's true. It's never been proved wrong. Did you know all the coins that the Bible mentions, like a shekel, and all them little coins in the Bible, they've found in abundance over there. Archaeologists have found digging. Did you know they've never found one of them coins mentioned in the Book of Mormon? You know why? Because the Book of Mormon is a lie. The Book of Mormon is a forgery. Along with the Jehovah Witness Bible, the New World Translation, it's a forgery. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, you know, like that little old girl said, they asked that little old girl, they said, which Bible you use? She said, I use the one God uses. That's a good answer. That's a good answer. Use the one God uses. It was that book right there that brought the revival to America. It was that King James Bible that God used to get me and you saved out of our sin. And I'm telling you, He's never changed His mind about His record. It's still right on everything. It's still right on sin. It's still right on judgment. It's still right on hell. It's still right on right living. It's still right on morality. It's still right on the future. It's still right in an activity. There's an old lady one time, this little girl go over to this girl's house, and every time she'd go, her grandma would be just sitting there reading the Bible like that. She said, why does your grandma read the Bible so much? She said, I guess she's cramming for her finals. And I said, that's right, brother. That's exactly what we're doing. That's why I read mine every day. I'm cramming for my finals. One of these days that I'm going to stand before the Lord. I read about this girl, Ruby Selleck, up in Pennsylvania. And when they had that terrible flood, 5 feet of water come in their house. And she had a Bible laying on a shelf somewhere. And they said that Bible, the water went down, and that Bible fell down on a shelf and opened up. And a sharp instrument come down out of one of them shelves and pointed right at a verse of Scripture. And it was Psalm 93 when it said, the floods have lifted up their voice. And a whole chapter there about the flood. That's what the Bible is. Brother, it's a lamp on our feet and a light under our path. You say, one man said, good men wrote the Bible. good men could not have wrote the Bible. Because it claims God wrote it. So they're lying and wasn't good men. Bad men would not have wrote it. Because it condemns them and everything they do. Good men couldn't have wrote it. Bad men wouldn't have done it. So that don't leave us somebody. One other person wrote it. And that's the Lord Himself. And the Bible said the Spirit of God moved. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I'll never forget Ed McAbee. You gave the best definition of inspiration I ever heard. That old camp meeting preaching. And he said, inspiration means this. Inspiration means God got a hold of the head and the heart and the hand of them men and guided them of what to say. There's a lot of time them men wrote stuff they didn't even realize what they was talking about. But the Holy Ghost was inspired. A lot of those Old Testament prophets, they had no idea, but God dictated it to them and they wrote it down. I'm glad God has never changed His mind about the Bible. Listen, we got the right book, people. You got the right book. You say, well, so-and-so's a great man and he uses another version. Yeah, and your Bible says great men are not always wise. That's right. God has never changed His mind about the authority of that book right there. I don't say, most of the Bible tonight is written in fifth grade English. Did you understand tonight that there's only about 6,000 words in the Bible, different words? Only a little over 6,000. Comparison, there's 20,000 in Shakespeare. So the Bible is a very simple book. Mostly one-syllable words. For God so loved the world that He gave His only. There's a two-syllable word, only. Begotten, three. If you're from here, two. Begotten. Son, that whoso to ever, three I guess, believeth, that's two and a half, in Him should not perish to, but have everlasting. Try that sometime if you're so smart. Everlasting, everlasting. That's four, right? Everlasting. That's a big word, everlasting. And that's how simple the Bible's written. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. See how simple it is? Third graders can read the Bible and understand it. People say, oh, the Bible's just so hard to understand. You ought to do like old Mark Twain. He said, it ain't the part of the Bible I don't understand that bothers me. It's that part I do understand that bothers me. You understand enough of it to keep you busy 24 hours a day, don't you? That's right. Well, I want to say tonight, He's never changed His mind. Secondly tonight, God's never changed His mind about His program for revival. His program for revival, ladies and gentlemen, has never changed. Not by programming, promoting, pumping, priming, or personalities. We are trying all those things today. Get a major personality in here. I hear them guys on TV and I watch them just to see what's going on. I flip the channel on all those Christian channels and there's a guy on there and he said, one guy's on there and he said, he looked at the camera and he went, hallelujah, hallelujah, praise God. And I went, oh, he's having a seizure. Man, you all right? And he was saying like, put your hand up to the TV for a point of contact. One old preacher one time, he's on there, and he's on the radio, he said, now friend, he said, you reach around here and put your hand on the radio for a point of contact. And I'm going to pray God will hear. And somebody said, put your hand in the back of that radio if you really want a point of contact. That'll give you a point of contact. He said, now somebody out there has got back trouble. Somebody out there has got back trouble. I feel it. Well, that ain't prophesying. Lord, help 10 million people. Somebody got, what's this? I'll prophesy. Somebody in here has had back trouble. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Get the Kentucky Fried Chicken buckets. Pass them out here. We're going on three more stations this week, folks. We're buying a new satellite. Listen, that ain't revival. God never changed His plan about revival. You say, what is God's plan for revival? Three things. Prevailing prayer, powerful preaching, and personal purging. Amen? Listen, we want revival in this church. We want God to do something great at Shining Light. There's got to be prevailing prayer. There's got to be powerful preaching. And there's got to be personal purging from sin. Hey, You want me to make that a little clearer on that last point? You can't sew every Hollywood movie and know every rock and rap song and know everything the world's doing and dress like them and act like them and look like them and smell like them and expect God to pour out His revival on us. That ain't the way it works. Amazing me, I go to young people's roots these days, and the young people are no different, the sinners, from the Christians. And I ain't trying to be a smart ass tonight, people, but there ought to be a difference in you kids. You ought to listen to different music. You ought to dress more better than they do. You ought to go to the right places. You ought not to see their dirty movies. You ought to turn the filthy rap off in the dirty rock music. Listen, personal purging comes before revival. And then powerful preaching. I read about the great Welsh revival. You've heard of the great Welsh revival in Wales, England. And 25-year-old Evan Roberts was the preacher, one of the main preachers of that. That old boy, he got on his own touch from God. He would go into a place of business and people would start getting right. People left work early so they could come to their meetings. Soccer matches were canceled so they could go to the Welsh revival. Now they miss church to go to the ball game. Back then they canceled the games to go to the house of God and get saved. We've got our priorities backwards in this country. If we're going to see revival, we're going to have to get to the place where the Lord means more than anything else. Listen, we've got more than we've ever had. We've got nicer cars. We've got more money at home. We've got better food on our table. And that's good. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But we better remember where the Lord brought us from and where we could be tonight if it wasn't for His mercy and grace and do some personal purging. Amen. Listen, there is no substitute for prevailing prayer. Every great move of God in history called by prevailing prayer. Now other things can be different. The people could be young, old, black, white, rich, poor, Americans, Africa, some other country, but every one of them has one thing in common. Somebody prayed and prayed and prayed. We've been meeting early on Sunday evening. We met here this evening and prayed. Thank God for it. And I know God's going to make it. It's going to make a difference. We're praying for camp. Holy Ghost of God, move at camp. Listen, I know all the kids are excited about going to camp because it's fun. And it is fun. I have fun. I don't get to have much fun, but I have a little bit of fun at camp. But they have a lot of fun. Thank God. That's fine. It's okay. But that's not why we're spending probably $16,000. That's not why we're doing it. We're doing that because, so that the Lord might get a hold of their hearts and change some lives. And we'll see God do something that'll change them when they come back home. And that's prevailing prayer is the only thing that'll do that. Amen? God's never changed His mind. Thirdly, God's never changed His mind about the plan of redemption. You know how a person gets saved? There's got to be three or four things. Conviction, contrition, confession, and conversion. What's conviction? There's conviction of sin. Where there's no conviction, there ain't going to be no conversion. Amen? The night I got saved, buddy, I was under conviction. I felt like the weight of this church was on my chest. I'm not the judge. I don't know who's saved and who don't. I don't make that call. That's between the Lord. But it really worries me when two kids come down the altar and they're laughing and cutting up and popping bubbles and say, "Yeah, I want to get saved. Praise the Lord," and go back and it's like no conviction at all. I don't think you have to bawl your eyes out for an hour like I did to get saved. Bible don't say that. Bible says, "Believe and thou shalt be saved." But there's something wrong with this generation where there's no conviction. Her conviction. That's something that's missing in these modern, mega, big shot, worldly churches is conviction. I mean conviction. I mean where people are crying and go to the altar and say, "God, I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me. I've been doing bad stuff. Forgive me, Lord. Help me, Lord. I'm going to quit that. God, by Your grace." That's conviction. And conversion. Listen, when you get saved, you turn, you repent, you have a change of mind, You have a change of direction. You have a change of thoughts. You have a change of priorities. You're not perfect overnight, but there's something inside you that was not there before you got saved. God's never changed His mind. Number four, God's never changed His mind about punishing the rebellious. God has never changed His mind. We're living in this time when it's just good God, and it's just good. He's good and He loves you, and He just loves you so much, and you are just so special, and you're just wonderful, and you're, well, that ain't right. You know what you are? You're a blob of sin and disappointment unless He helps you, unless He puts His hand on your life. I mean, the Bible said there's none good. No, not one. And brother, if He's never changed His mind about punishing the rebellious, let's talk about saints. I have a friend of mine, a good preacher friend of mine, and they're off on this kick of there is no chastisement. They say that was Jesus, God talking to Israel, and that the Lord don't chastise His children. They say, well, why would He love you? If He says He loves you, why would He whip you? And the answer is simple. How could you be that crazy? Same reason a father who loves his son chastises his child. A parent that don't chastise a child don't love that child like they're supposed to. You let that child run wild, you don't even love it. People say, well, God loves us too much to whip us. No, He loves us enough to correct us when we get along. You say, have you ever been whipped by the Lord? Yes, I have. And you say, well, I don't know if I have or not. If you ever have, you know it. You know when the Lord took you to the woodshed. You know when the Lord's whipped you real good. It's chastisement. I know one guy told me, he said, now if I go out here, Danny, and I get drunk and I wreck my car, he said, that ain't the Lord doing that to me. He said, that's me doing that to myself. He said, God doesn't do that. I said, that ain't what the Bible said. The Bible said He scourgeth every son. Scourgeth. Every son whom He receives. That don't, I just doubt if you'll hear Joel Osteen preach a sermon on that. Really. I mean, I know this. Isn't it? I can imagine him come on there and that rock band and that smoke come up for a little while. And then his wife come out and say, wow, everything is wonderful. Everything is great. And then Joel come on and say, the Lord's going to knock your head off if you don't straighten up. See, that don't fit. You know what fits with that? That music method? Well, the Lord's good, isn't He? The Lord's good, isn't He? The Lord's good, isn't He? The Lord, you're good too. Everybody's good. The Lord's good, isn't He? Isn't the Lord good? Now, the Lord is good, people, but He will also bust you a good one if you refuse to live for Him. Amen? Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. That's what the book said. I mean, God ain't never changed His mind. I'm telling you, people, listen, there was a man in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 that Paul told him, he said, you turn him over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of judgment. You tell me that ain't chastisement? Killed him. Died an early death. God never changed His mind. You say, you really believe the Lord? Yes, I do, because He never changed His mind. He said you could become a castaway. 1 Corinthians 9:27. Like on a ship cast overboard, God, your life can become like that. You can become no count for the walk of God. And then you can come to an early grave. Amen? Listen, brother. What about sinners? God has never changed His mind about punishment for sinners. That's where this thing of taking the doctrine of hell out. My sister told me yesterday. She said, Danny, she said, you can look this up on the internet. And I don't do that. So I told Kelly, and she looked it up for us. We looked at it a little bit later. I just don't do that. And she said, girl, lady she works with in Old Fort. Some of y'all might have heard about this. I don't know why they don't put this on the news. They said, this girl lives in Old Fort. Beautiful young black girl about, I think she just turned 16. And her grandmother works with my sister in Old Fort. She said, Danny, she said that girl was in Baltimore, I think it was Baltimore, this week, and said she was staying there with her other grandmother. Baltimore's a wicked place. You know about all the riots and all that. That's where they put me on that rock album up there, that Pig Destroyer, that Boston Strangler thing. I have no idea who they are or how I got. They got me preaching on their album. And I thought, Lord, have mercy on some crazy people in Baltimore. And you know what? She said, this girl was up there visiting her grandma. She's 16. She went to a party. Better listen, teenagers. She went to a party the other night. And you can look this up on the internet when you get home. Please do wait till you get home. And she went to this party and she met some boys. There's one 16. There's one 15. Or something like that. There's one 14. The next day, the boys come to her house, grandmother's house, broke in, put her down in the basement, and sexually assaulted her, raped her, and poured gas on her and set her on fire and burned her to death. And the 14-year-old confessed. You can Google it. 16-year-old rape in Baltimore. It's got a big article on it. Her grandmother's in Old Fort. She said the 14-year-old confessed, and they confessed and said, why'd you do this? And they said, as an initiation for gang, to get in the gang. See, you teenagers, she went to a party on one night, and the next day got that kind. That's why I tell y'all, be careful about talking to people you don't know. Don't give your phone number. Every Tom, Dick, and Harry comes down the road, surely you ain't that dumb or that desperate for a little bit of attention. Get yourself killed. They poured gas on her and burned her to death. And they said it's for a gang initiation. You had to do that. Something. You had to murder somebody or rape a girl to get in the gang. And one of them was already in the gang and he could move up a little bit. And the other one wanted in it. And the 14-year-old confessed and they're charging them as adults. Look it up when you get home. God's never changed. Where's 2020? How come Bill O'Reilly don't talk about that? Where's Nancy Grace? Talk about the Bloods and the Crips. Where are they all at? I'm telling you. Remember me telling you a few weeks ago about the news media? They're led by the devil. When they report on something, there's a reason for it. They don't report the news. They report what they want you to hear to politic what they want to go and accomplish. I'm telling you tonight. Sad what happened down there in South Carolina, that boy going in there and shooting those innocent people. Isn't that terrible? Terrible. I mean, the poor stupid kid didn't have no better sense. They'll just take somebody like that. He's done confess. Get him, just get him saved and then put him in the gas chamber. That's what they'll do. Save millions of dollars. Get him saved first and go ahead and do it. I mean, what's have a trial for? Amen? But anyway, God never has changed His mind about sin. God has never changed His mind about sin. Lastly, and I'll say this and I'm through. God's never changed His mind about the promise of His return. I know people say, I used to say, boy, Brother Danny, I know the Lord's coming. But He didn't come. We used to preach the Lord was coming in 1993. Everybody had it all figured out. I preached camp meetings everywhere. I know thousands of people all over the United States. And they said, the Lord's coming back in 1993. That gives 7 years for the tribulation. 2000, the new millennium will start. We'll come back. Man, it sounded good. And I said, I never could say it would because I didn't know. I said, it might. Well, it didn't. And they said, well, it's probably 94 is off a little bit. 95, 96, I know it's going to happen in the 90s. And then that big thing, we got to 99, that big thing came up about Y2K. Remember that? Everybody was going crazy over Y2K. I mean, I know preachers that got on the radio. They said, you better store up water. People were putting water in all their milk jugs, putting one drop of Clorox in it so it'll stay fresh. I mean, you're going to drink Clorox, I reckon, and when everything goes off. And they said, we're going to store up food and canned stuff. Because when the millennium hits, our planes are going to fall out of the sky. All the computers are going to crash. Oh, it's going to be chaos. And the whole time I thought, you reckon, and I know people, smart people, preachers on TV that know a lot more than I, and they said, it's coming, folks, of Christ, it's coming. So we had a big, up there in Marion, we had this big service plan. We had a big old screen set up and had CNN piped in with cable in case the world blows up, we was going to see it live right there. And boy, I mean, there are people coming from everywhere, and I said, people said, Brother Danny, you reckon? I don't know. Lord, a plane, a lot of the fall on the church. One of them jets. We don't know what's going to happen. And I milked it for everything it's worth. You better get saved. This is your last day being able to get water to drink. It couldn't be your last. Remember, they preached on it. We met that they had a bomb threat that day, and the cops called and said there'd been a bomb threat. No, I said, that's stupid. I'm going to church tonight. People started calling the house. I said, yes, we're having church. I said, if there's a bomb, I hope it's right behind the pulpit. I don't want to get mangled, brother. I want to go home and see the Lord. What a good day. And we went ahead and had service that night in the big time, and we had it countdown. Had this clock on the wall. 1 hour. 2 minutes. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. Everybody's holding their breath. 5, 4. The world's going to blow up. 3, 2, 1. And not one blessed thing happened. I was mad. I wanted something to crash. I shouldn't, but I thought, foot. We've done all this trouble and preached this and everything. And you know what? There was a spirit swept over our country when the year 2000 came. About that time, everybody started getting cell phones. About that time, everybody started getting the internet. I'm telling you, ever since then, it's been the hardest to get people in church, the hardest to get people to live right, by far, than it used to be. And the average person now says, I've heard that all my life. And I'm telling you tonight, just as sure as you're sitting in your seat tonight, the trumpet is going to sound, and the Lord is going to come, and the dead in Christ is going to rise first, and we which are alive and remain are going to be caught up. It might be tonight. Might be tonight. Might be tonight. They play that little, we listen to 780, me and Brother Wayne, Kelly, all the time. 780 over yonder, if you live that direction or you got a decent radio, and they play that little, it could happen any moment. In the twinkling of an eye. Da 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 da. Jesus Christ could come again. And boy, they play that on there all the time. I'm glad they do. It could happen any moment. Don't lose hope of this. Amen? Could happen any moment. You know what they're saying today? I'm hushing. You know what they're trying to say today? They're trying to tell you when Jesus said, I go and I'll come again, that He meant when you get saved, that's His coming. Like when you got saved, that was the second coming of Christ to you. Or when the Holy Spirit came, that was His second coming. But the angel said, fear not, the same Jesus, as you've seen go, shall come in like manner. You've seen Him go, you'll see Him come. It ain't spiritually something that happens in your heart. You will see Him. Every eye shall see Him. And every tongue will confess to Him. God's never changed His mind. About the time, wouldn't you hate to just give up right before the rapture? I heard about this guy one time. They said he just took it, and he said, Lord, everything's going wrong. My wife left me. My husband left me. My job went kaput, and I lost all my money and lost everything. I'm just going to run off a bridge and kill myself. And he did, and the Lord took him on to heaven. He sat down there beside the Lord. He said, Lord, I'm sorry. I just couldn't take it no longer. And the Lord said, well, just sit down right here. We're getting ready to have the rapture. That'd be awful, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be awful if you gave up 1 hour right before He came? What if you got teenagers? And you said, man, I want to go to this party really, really bad. And I know it's wicked, and I know these people are full of the devil, but, gosh, I want to go really, really bad because these good-looking guys or these pretty girls are going to be there. And then you design, the Lord came back. It could happen just like that. Any moment, God's never changed His mind about His coming. Question tonight, if He came right now, would you be ready? Let's stand by our heads for prayer, please. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed tonight.